If you have your Bibles with you this morning, and I hope that you do, I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 5. We're looking at the Sermon on the Mount. We began that several weeks ago. And I was concerned when I started this study if I was going to have time to go through the entire Sermon on the Mount, because I think it's such a powerful sermon. And I was thinking and praying about this, as I mentioned earlier, that I just kept seeing Jesus and just kept saying Jesus and speaking Jesus. So I want to talk to you this morning from chapter 5, verse 6 of this greatest sermon ever preached. And I want to talk to you about a passionate hunger for God. A passionate hunger for God. When we have a passionate hunger for God, we're not going to have to worry about speaking Jesus. We're not going to have to ask the Holy Spirit, fill me, Holy Spirit, with your fire so that I can say the name of Jesus. Not only say it, but believe it and testify to the name of Jesus Christ. So that I can tell someone who's not on the mountain, but they're down in the valley, it's okay because your Lord and your Savior is with you. And he sees the light at the end of your valley, whether we can or not. You know, there's some of you know that one of my favorite restaurants, if not the favorite restaurant, is McDonald's. But I don't know if you know this. I'm sure some of you have really researched the history of McDonald's so that you can really get it down in your mind and your memory and testify about it. But in 1955, if you drove up to McDonald's, and McDonald's is one of those new burger joints at that time, and if you drove up there, this burger stand was under the arches. That's why I think it's real. They didn't say this in the article I was reading, but I think it's God's restaurant because he put those golden arches up there. But if you drive up there where that restaurant, where those golden arches are, and you went through the drive-through and said, I want a large Coke, you know how much Coke you get? 7 ounces. You get a cup of 7 ounces in 1955 at McDonald's drive-through. I was going to say, I challenge you. I would encourage you to go to McDonald's today and go through their drive-thru and ask them for a large Coke. You know what size Coke you're going to get at McDonald's? 32 ounces. I know that because I was in there not long ago and I heard this person ask for a large Coke. And you know what that person said, and I'm sure others said that as well. Do we get a refill on this? That's a quart of Coke. Or whatever drink it is. Well, here's the point. We're never satisfied. We always want more. We want more than what we have right now. Even if it's something such as a Coke. And so I want us to look at the Sermon on the Mount, and the verse we're concentrating on this morning is verse 6. But let me read beginning in verse 1 to keep this in the context. And remember that I said as we look at each one of these beatitudes that Jesus is preaching here, that they build upon each other. You know, it's not something that you pick and choose. So if you're studying beatitudes and you want for a particular reason, well, see that, you know, it's difficult to leave one of those beatitudes out if you're going to get to the end with the point that Jesus is making to his disciples there. And this is what he said on that hill just above Capernaum. Seeing the crowds, he went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth and he taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Remember we said as we were looking at this first one, if you don't have the Holy Spirit in you, you're spiritually bankrupt. You're not in the kingdom of God. You're not going to heaven. You're spiritually bankrupt. This is what Jesus, notice that he said, sat down and taught them. It wasn't just some generalizations, but Jesus is teaching his disciples. Why was he teaching his disciples? Because they were going out into the world. They were going to suffer persecution. They were going to suffer death for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then in verse 4, he said, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." Verse 5, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." Remember last week we said that when we are weak, then we're the strongest according to the word of God. Meek is the opposite, if you will, of pride. God hates pride. Pride goes before the fall. Pride, God cannot stand pride. Jesus Christ didn't go to that cross in pride. Jesus Christ went humbly obeying his Father in heaven. And so he says, "Blessed are those who are meek, for they shall do what? They shall inherit the kingdom of God." What's that mean? That means if you're not meek, if you haven't grasped this meekness and become a meek person through the power of the Holy Spirit and the shaping of the Holy Spirit, then just as we look here, you're not in the kingdom of God. You have no relationship with Jesus Christ. When you die, you know where you're going. And then he says in verse 6, our verse for today, "Blessed are those who mourn, I'm sorry, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be what? They shall be satisfied." They shall be satisfied. You know, I was reading something else this week in preparation for this message, and some of you may know this. I know that we've got some that work for NASA or did work with NASA, whatever the case may be. But in 1977, NASA launched the Voyager 1 and the Voyager 2 to explore the galaxy. I mean, they were just really kind of in the birth pangs of searching the galaxy. So they launched Voyager 1 and Voyager 2. And they had a golden record called the Sounds of Earth that they put on each one of those spacecraft. The Sounds of Earth. And it was a message from Earth to anyone out there in the universe, anyone out there in the universe that might be listening. How's that sound to you? Anyone out there in the universe who might be listening? It contained both music and the sound of a human heartbeat. They made this CD, this whatever, this recording, put it on each one, Voyager 1, Voyager 2, and they launched it out there in the universe. So if anybody is listening, they will hear the human heartbeat on this recording. And part of what we wanted to capture in the Voyager message was this great general longing we feel. And they were saying that to the rest of the universe, this is who and what we are as human beings here on Earth. Creatures of longing. And I read that and I thought, wow. I wonder what they would say today if someone's listening out there and says, this is who we are. Look at our heart. We're creatures of longing. And that is true. We are creatures of longing. But what are we longing for? What are you longing for? And this is really the thesis of this verse that Jesus is preaching to his disciples this morning. What are you wanting in life? What is your goal? What is your purpose? And Jesus declares that in Scripture that his deepest desire for every person, include us, everyone here today, Jesus' deepest desire ought to be that we are focusing on Jesus Christ and we have that constant desire to feel that hunger and feel that thirst to know Jesus Christ more and more in our life. Every day, constantly going forward. Not three steps back and three steps up and two steps back. But focusing when we do get knocked back. That we keep our eyes on Jesus Christ. and that we hunger and thirst, and that we discipline ourselves. I use that word so often in the message because it's a word we hate. It's a word I don't like at times. Discipline ourselves to achieve that which you want to achieve. Discipline yourself to be able to pass a test, to be able to get accepted in a police academy, or be able to get accepted in a university. Whatever it is, it takes discipline to be able to do that. And please hear this. A person who has no hunger and thirst for righteousness, Jesus says, you have no part in my kingdom. I want to say that again. This is so important. To those who say, they hear a message, whatever, but a person who has no thirst or no hunger for Jesus Christ, to be what Jesus Christ created them and planned them to be, Jesus looks at these disciples and the Jews that were sitting around there that were eventually going to crucify him. He said, you have no part in the kingdom of God. You'll never be in the kingdom of God. But you'll be in the kingdom of Satan, not only here, but you'll be in the kingdom of Satan in hell. That's a tough message. But Jesus was preaching a tough message there. This is not a feel-good message. Please understand that. Read it. It's not a feel-good message. It's a message coming from Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the one who wrote the Scripture through men. And he said, I'm on a serious mission. And I'm paraphrasing. It's a serious mission. I'm up here today, not to tickle your ears, but with the very best that God can place into my heart and give me, how I believe through study and interpretation and prayer, something that may change your life. You may be a casual Christian right now, and I pray that as you've heard me during these years here, I pray that you understand that there is no such thing as casual Christianity. You're either with Christ or you're against. He says, you're either with me or you're against me. There's no in between there. Brothers and sisters, we have Christians today, bona fide Christians today. They're saved. But they're going to get into heaven, as people say, by the skin of your teeth. I just want to get into heaven by the skin of my teeth. There is no such thing. There is Jesus Christ. There is His kingdom. There is His sacrifice. There is His word. I'm coming again. Coming again for what? I'm coming again, number one, for my church, for my people. At a day and time unknown, but I'm coming for my church. I'm going to take them out of there. And then I'm coming to judge you, not you who know Christ, but I'm coming to judge the world. So I want to look at how do we hunger, and it's here in your outline. We'll go through this relatively quickly. How hunger is not satisfied. How if you have a hunger for something, and especially for to know more about Christ, maybe somebody will just be touched, say, well, okay, preacher, I'm going to just going to read Scripture. I'm going to see some things that you may have said. But how do you have a hunger that's not satisfied? Well, number one, many people try to ease their hunger or their thirst for eternal things with what? With earthly pleasures. See, we all know that. We seek rather than Jesus and rather think about heaven and concentrate on heaven, since we're just pilgrims here. This is temporary. You know, he's saying 10,000 years. You know how many minutes that is to Jesus? 10 minutes. 10 minutes. 10 minutes, he could be back here. But, you know, God's word clearly tells us that the earthly pleasures don't satisfy. I would ask you to give an amen to that, but I won't. I'd ask you to raise your hand to that because you know earthly pleasures do not satisfy. And when we, if we happen to be at that point in our life where we know the time is near to see Jesus Christ face to face. We're going to think about earthly pleasures, are we? Some will. Some will say, oh, I wish I hadn't spent so much time in the office. I wish I'd have spent time with my wife or my husband or my family. Or my child who went astray, or whatever the case may be. Earthly pleasures do not satisfy. In fact, there is, no matter how much water that Jesus refers to throughout Scripture, water of blessings, from the well of pleasure that we seek, it is never, ever going to satisfy your soul. And what I mean by that is you're going to drink all that water from the earth, from our culture today, and you know how you're going to go away? You're going to go away empty. There's nothing there. You drink and drink. Just like that 7 ounces of McDonald's that you left there. And over the years, people must have said, hey, I want more than 7 ounces. So I said, okay, we'll give you 7 ounces. We'll give you 32 ounces. Well, I want more. Is it a free refill? And you don't have to use Cokes. I mean, you can use just about anything that you're seeking. Tom Brady, who won all those Super Bowls, when he was interviewed, he said, there's got to be more than this. 7 Super Bowls. He's worth $450 million. He earns $35 million a year. And he says to the interviewer, there's got to be more than this. And I thought how crazy that is until I saw there's got to be more than this caused a divorce in his family of children. Why? It's got to be more than this. And this is, many people try to satisfy their hunger and their thirst with earthly pleasures. And you'll go away feeling empty. Secondly, some seek lasting satisfaction in performance. If I just work hard enough, God will know that I'm okay, that I really love Him. You know, we see this. Many successful movie and TV and sports figures, as I mentioned, Tom Brady, many of those are unsatisfied. I was just looking on in one of the newspapers online just yesterday. The number of actresses and actors that have taken their lives just that particular week. Why? Well, you got stardom. You got money. You got people that may come up and get your autograph. And yet they kill themselves. Why? Well, some of them kill themselves through drugs. It's not enough. The joy is, it's not enough. The happiness, the accolade is not enough. I need more, so I'll turn to drugs. Don't you see how foolish this is? The only satisfaction is Jesus Christ. Thirdly, some seek to satisfy their inner hunger and thirst through possessions. You don't have to turn there, but you may want to write down Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 10, written by Solomon, the man that had it all, the smartest man that ever lived, at least in his time, all the wealth that anybody ever had. He said, he who loves money will not be satisfied with money, nor he who loves wealth with his income. This also, he says, is vanity. It's foolish. God writes through Solomon, with all that wealth, all that brain power, you go ahead and seek those things, but it's going to be all in vain. And so this is what we see here in the New Testament, what Jesus is talking about here. It is not possible to develop spiritually. It is just not possible to develop spiritually with a God or with Jesus Christ. The way He tells us to develop ourselves, as He's talking about here in the Sermon on the Mount, without concentrating on God. And that word is key. Concentrating on God. No matter where we are Our focus is on God. Our focus is in heaven. I said it before, it's not here. Our focus is in heaven. That takes discipline to be able to do that. But when you discipline yourself to be able to do that, Jesus says, yours is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you, for yours is the kingdom of heaven. Well, what kind of hunger is Jesus preaching here? Let me give you just three kinds of things that Jesus is preaching to these disciples about. Jesus preached about the desire for complete righteousness. He's looking to the disciples and he said, I want you not just to have some righteousness, I want you to have complete righteousness, a completely righteous life, if you will. And people who experience this kind of life are people who thirst for God all their lives. And you think that doesn't take discipline? People who thirst and hunger for God, for this relationship, this intimate relationship with Christ, all their lives. Remember, these disciples are going out. God's going to send them out to the world. And so he's laying a foundation here. You're not going to be as satisfied as they're witnessing about Jesus Christ. And they said, I saw Jesus. I saw him. I saw him come from. He's real. He's true. And so they're laying the foundation for the church of Jesus Christ. Too many are content with themselves, with partial righteousness. What do you mean by that? I mean, somebody criticized me and said, well, I'm not perfect. There's only one perfect person, and that's God. But I'm not perfect. Well, I may not be the best husband or the best wife, but I'm not having an affair. I'm not committing adultery. I know I got some things I need to work on in my marriage or whatever the case may be. You know what Jesus would be saying to you or to me if we said that to him? Stop it. Stop it. Who are you talking to? Have you read my word? It's commitment. It's hungering and thirsting for righteousness. It's mourning as I mourned and as I have told you and taught you to mourn, and you will be blessed. Stop it. Strive, in other words, to be holy. Are you striving to be holy? A serious question that only you can answer. Are you truly striving? What's striving mean? Striving means, like Paul said, I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus hold of me. I haven't done it yet, but I press on to do that. Pressing on and striving, the same thing. I'm disciplining myself. I want to know Jesus Christ. I want to be closer to Jesus Christ. I want to be more effective for Jesus Christ. And the aim that Jesus has there is to give us, and today is to give us a pure, holy heart that is totally under the control of Him. Listen to me. He wants your heart. And He says, if you give me your heart and you give me your commitment, it's under my control. You just tell me what you need. You just tell me when you need it. And I'll guide you through the power of the Holy Spirit. I'll lead you. Because you see, you're on a path. You're on that purpose for which I created you. And so I'm sure not going to do anything or not give you anything that you need. Not that you may want, but that you need to fulfill that purpose. A righteous, controlled life is totally under the control of God. Secondly, Jesus preached that an intense desire for a right relationship with God. An intense desire. I have this intense desire for this intense relationship with God. In other words, I desperately want to be right with God. I got things I got to repent of every day, because I want to be right with God. Some of those things, if I told you, you'd say, oh, come on. And you know what I would say to you? Stop it. It's between me and God. And because of my relationship, because of the number of years He's given me the privilege to live on this earth and the privilege to preach and the privilege to study. Isn't it true that the closer you get to Christ, the smaller the sin that you do hurts you more than when you did that big sin way back when? Why is that? Because you're righteous. You're being made righteous by God. You're closer and closer to God. The psalmist in Psalm 42, verse 1 and 2 said, as a deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 13 said, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. You know what I believe Jesus could be asking right now of me and of you today? How much do you want me to bless you? How much do you want me to make you righteous, pure, and holy in my Father's sight? How much do you want? What would you respond to Him? How would you respond to Him? Well, thirdly, He says, and this is huge, Jesus says, I came to express the purpose of satisfying your desire. He said, I came for many purposes, but one of them is to satisfy your desire to be closer to me, your desire to be what I created you to be. I want you to look at a passage of Scripture. I'm not going to do a lot of cross-referencing, don't have time, but I want you to turn over to John chapter 4 for just a moment. John chapter 4. And listen to what John, God wrote to us through John here. Look at verse 13 of John chapter 4. And this is a familiar story. It's Jesus met the woman at the well. Remember, He was going from Jerusalem up to Samaria. And very interesting passage, a very interesting phrase that He uses there. He says, and I like the King James Version, He says, I must needs to go through Samaria, the hated place by Jews. But I must need to go there. Why did He must need to go there? Because He met this woman at the well. And listen to what He said in verse 13. Jesus said to her, everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. Meditate upon that passage. Meditate upon what God was telling this woman that had five husbands and she's living with one that's not her husband. If you trust me to make you righteous, to make you sanctified, to look like me, I will give you such water, fill you with such satisfaction and water and hunger, your thirst, that it'll just continuously well up. You won't have to ask for it all the time. You'll be walking around doing the things I ask you to do, and it's just there. You know, you don't have to pray about it because it's just there. You're just doing these things. The living water. He calls it the living water. He's saying, I'm it. He said that to the girl, to the woman. He said, I'm it. Who do you want? I'm it. He's saying to those disciples, he's saying to those religious leaders, I'm it. I'm the one who is righteous. I am the one who tells you, if you are righteous, you shall enter and be in the kingdom of God. Well, turn over just a couple more chapters there, John chapter 6, and look at verse 35. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. See, He was talking about water. You're thirsty, ma'am? I'm going to give you some water, the kind of water you'll never thirst again. And then He's talking about here, just a few chapters later, he said, Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger. And whoever believes in me shall never thirst. Those are God's promises. Come to him. That's why we come in our beginning of our worship here. We come to him. He said, if you come to me, you're not, I'm going to ensure that you never thirst or you never hunger again if you come to me. Now, he's not just saying come to the altar, but he's saying come and let me change your life and then accept that. Well, let me close with this. Looking, as you can see there in the outline, the testing of spiritual hunger. In other words, how am I doing or what do I need to do, God, to have this kind of spiritual hunger satisfied? The testing of spiritual hunger sometimes is dissatisfaction with yourself. Anybody not satisfied with themselves? Sometimes when you feel I'm not satisfied, I'm not where I want to be. That's what I've been saying. I want to speak Jesus. Not just when I'm on the mountain, not just when I'm behind the pulpit. I want to speak Jesus in Walmart or McDonald's, wherever. Somebody is going to see me. I want to speak Jesus. I want them to see Jesus in my life. And sometimes when God looks at our heart, he's going to test you. He's going to say you're dissatisfied with yourself, right? Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. Come to me. This is from me. You come to me. Listen, no matter how advanced our spiritual maturity, our hunger for Christ is, we're always going to want more. I want to just show you this. I'm going to turn to Romans chapter 7. Paul, the greatest, probably greatest Christian that ever lived. All those things that we know about Paul, all the letters that he wrote to the churches, all the beatings and sufferings that he took for Jesus Christ to send the gospel out. Listen to what he said, the greatest Christian that ever lived. Listen to what he said in Romans chapter 7, verse 21. So I find it to be a law that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God, in my inner being. But I see in my members another law, waging war against the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Now look at verse 24. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me, Paul, from this body of death? Can you imagine that? Paul saying, wretched man who I am? That's why when I'm in that line to receive rewards there with Jesus, I hope Paul's not in front of me. Because I'm going to really feel bad if I get a chance to listen in to what Jesus says about that. And then here comes Ted Duck. I want to know Christ and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him unto death, to somehow attain the resurrection of the dead. Not that I've already obtained that, but I press on. This little old body, I press on to take hold of that which Christ Jesus took hold of me when he created me and when I received him as Christ. Nothing can satisfy those who have a true spiritual hunger and thirst for Christ other than the Word of God and Jesus Christ. That's why this word is called living. Thirdly, craving for the Word of God is a basic spiritual food that he came to provide you and me, came to provide for his children. He said, craving for the Word of God. I want you to crave for the Word of God. Do you crave for the Word of God? Do you crave for the Word of God, not just when you feel like it or I feel like it, but as one of our priorities, if not the top priority, to crave the Word of God? Fourthly, pleasantness of the things of God. Sometimes God will interrupt our pleasantness. And then he'll bring us back to the pleasantness of those things that we lost or that that he withdrew from us for a short period of time. Oh God, I wish you'd give me another chance. Oh God, I wish you'd give me him, give me her, give me the opportunity one more time, God. A believer who seeks God's righteousness above all other things will find fulfillment and will find satisfaction in those things that, listen to me, that are humanly disastrous to the world. How could you seek God and praise God when this happened to you? You see, it's counterculture. It's directly counterculture. And we can say even the Lord's discipline. I can tell you, even the Lord's discipline, he will discipline us. Why does he discipline us? Because he loves us. Didn't you discipline your children because you loved them? You wanted them to stay on the right course. You wanted them to stay in, as my mom used to say, I want you on the straight and narrow. That's what God does. And sometimes he disciplines us to do that. Fifthly, true spiritual hunger is unconditional. True, genuine spiritual hunger is unconditional. In other words, it's genuine. It's real. We seek after God. And not only do we seek after God, but listen to me, we obey God when we find him. We obey him, all of his commands. And sometimes those commands are really, really difficult. Not only perhaps to do in our own strength, but it's difficult up here. Oh God. Oh God, I don't know. Let me pray about this. Listen, we follow Christ no matter how demanding his word may be to us. I left a profession because, and I didn't realize it at the time because I wasn't smart enough, I wasn't spiritual enough, I didn't know enough about Jesus Christ. But when I left that my former profession, and he called me into the ministry at 50 years of age, it was a call of God. I didn't realize at the time he was demanding me to give up that profession and come in because he had a purpose for me. And the only question I have at this time, and I don't seek an answer to it, was he calling me for those previous 30 years? And it took me 30 years to say, yes, God. Yes, I'll follow you. Don't know. But then again, I'll go back and say, as I say to you so often, he doesn't care where you were yesterday. Will you allow him to take you where he wants you to be beginning today? And tomorrow, because he's got something great for you out there. He's got something great for me. You not miss this. You may want to write this down. It's not in your outline. I just call it a takeaway. The least of God's righteousness, the least of God's righteousness is more valuable than the greatest of anything you can possess or anything the world can give to you. The richest man in the world, God can give the richest man in the world something that is far more valuable, and that's his righteousness. Don't you want to be right with God? When Christ looks at you, or God looks at you, don't you want him to see Christ in you? And because of what Christ did on the cross, he now sees you as holy. You and I are holy. We're pure. The great word of Jesus to his disciples, and I thought about this, and I'm trying to capture a word. What was he saying to the disciples? What was he saying in these other Beatitudes? You know what I think he was saying? Abandon. Abandon. What do you do when you abandon something? You turn from it. You burn the ships. You burn whatever it was. You turn from God, from whatever it was that was holding you back. And you turn to God. Telling the disciples, abandon your professions. abandon fishermen, abandon tax collecting, abandon all of that and do what? Follow me, for I got a plan for you, and you're going to take my gospel into the world. And you're not going to be popular. Every one of you except you, John. He didn't say this to John. John wanted to be his favorite. Maybe he was. They said all you others are going to die. You're going to be martyred. Horrible deaths. But John, you're going to sit in the isle on the Patmos there as a 90-some-year-old man until the day I call you home. And John would tell you this morning, if he could speak to him, or you can ask him when you get to heaven, John, what did you think you were there? While you were there on that island, breaking rock, 92 years old, I consider it a privilege to break rock for Jesus Christ. Do you consider it a privilege for whatever God has called you to do? Would you pray with me this morning? Heavenly Father God, I don't believe there's a person here that doesn't want you to have complete control of our life. Lord, that we want to be more like you. More like you and in this culture that you have blessed us, privileged us to live in. So many of the things that we read in Scripture, Lord, we suffer. We experience every day, every week, every month. Here in this greatest nation that you ever created, with the most wealth that you've ever created. And Lord, there's no satisfaction. There are people that are just, they're jumping off the cliffs of morality and into immorality and sin. Sin that even John couldn't comprehend back then. So, Father, we're asking this morning that if there's one person here that has never received Jesus Christ, has never begun that journey into righteousness and holiness, to have the thirst that they're experiencing, the hunger that they're experiencing, that they think is for the world, is for something, riches, a car, a job, whatever it may be, Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit would just convict them right now. I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. No one enters my kingdom without Jesus Christ living in you. So, Father, if there's one heart that wants to receive Jesus Christ, that wants to get off that road, that wide road that's leading to destruction, that road in which every kind of thing has been tried and there's still that feeling of emptiness, loneliness, heartache. God, let him just simply say, he's talking about me, Jesus. Save me, Jesus. Come into my life. I want to turn from my sin. I want to repent. But I need your help to repent. That thing that I'm dealing with has just got a hold on me, Lord, but you can break it. So I'm asking you in faith, Jesus Christ, like you told the woman at the well, come into my life and save me. And I believe, because it is by faith, that you have at this moment, regardless of how I feel, that I have become a Christian, that I have been made righteous. And Lord, I want you to make me more righteous for your sake, not for mine. And Father, if there's a heart here today that as we stand and as we worship you with our benediction, God, that you would lead them to a church, Lord. A church where they can be loved. A church where they can receive the Word of God. Where they can grow and be fortified and be encouraged. And God, lead them to that church. And if it's here at Pine Drive, our arms are open to them, Lord. Our hearts are open. And Father, there may be someone as we sing that just wants to take a hand of someone and just say, can I pray for you? I know what you're going through. Maybe someone who just wants to come again to the altar, come to me, come to a deacon and say, will you pray with me? The battle's intense. Father, whatever it is, this is your invitation, the invitation from Almighty God in heaven. come to me, or you are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. God, let us not walk away from that invitation. And we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand as our praise team leads us? Going to do just a couple of three verses, and then we're going to join hands and leave from here. Don't leave from here if the Holy Spirit's wanting you to do some business with Jesus and with her Father.